So David rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. The period that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. Then Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing, and have not asked for long life, nor have asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." The weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stones, and he made cedar trees as abundant as the sycamores which are in the lowlands. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, "You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. So there's the backstory. King Solomon. At the end of his life, after having done all this, after having been the most intelligent person probably ever, and the richest man on earth probably ever, what does he have to say? At the end of all this, after it's all been said and done. So he wrote Ecclesiastes. "So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on all the labor which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity, and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun." Vanity. It comes from the Hebrew word habel, and it means emptiness. It means something not lasting and unsatisfactory. Emptiness, something not lasting and unsatisfactory. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes today. Apparently it had been a while since I'd read it, and a lot of things were just really clicking for me. Because, I don't know, It just makes more sense now as an adult doing adult things. So that's where we're going to be this morning. Chapter 1, verses 2 through 7. 2 through 11. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor, in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises, and the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. I'm beginning to understand a little better how this world is just one big cycle. It's just one big cycle. The sun rises, the sun sets. The wind blows north, and then it blows south. The river runs, the water evaporates. It rains, the river runs. We wake up, we bustle around accomplishing as much as we can until it gets dark, and then we go to sleep. And then we wake up, and we bustle around and get as much accomplished as we can until it gets dark, and we go to sleep. A bunch of people get sick and die from leprosy, or the bubonic plague, or smallpox, and mankind builds immunity or finds a cure or something. Empires rise. They become corrupt and disorganized, and various adversaries whittle away at it from the outside and from within until it crumbles. What do you remember about Rome? Julius Caesar, the rough geometry or geography of their empire, what they conquered. They couldn't handle the Scots. I definitely remember that. Augustus Caesar, sort of. Nero. That's about it. Chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. For there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? As the fool. This cycle is going to continue over and over, and it has been continuing over and over since the beginning, until God simply pulls the plug and says, all done. That's what's going to happen. So this book, Ecclesiastes, is Solomon painting a picture of the world and the affairs of men as he sees it. Okay? And he uses no political correctness. No tact. As the saying goes, he's about 157 miles past give a rip. This is the way I see it, guys, and I'm not interested in making it pretty. That's what he's saying. It's at the end of his life, after all his success and all his mistakes, this is what he's learned. And he says, all things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. I'm beginning to understand this too. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. You complete a job. Everything just looks great. Derek, you got your conduit ran. Perfect 90s. Offsets exactly where they're supposed to be. wire ran, your terminations are nice and clean, no tangles, no unnecessary slack. Tim, you get that engine running perfect. It's just humming, purring like a kitten. It was tore up before, but you fixed it. You installed something. You did it right. And you stand back and you look at it just long enough to say, looks good, works good, is good. Well, time to move on to the next one. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. I just worked my butt off for 2 weeks. And now that it's working, I get to move on. Chapter 11, verses 5 through 8. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. Back to chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. For what has man for all his labor, and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? I didn't highlight my hair, that's just sun bleaching. For all that he has toiled under the sun. For all his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. How many times have I laid awake at night thinking about what I'm going to be doing tomorrow? This also is vanity. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. Says a very similar message to chapter 3, starting verse 9. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. 6 times Solomon says this sort of message. Eat and drink and enjoy good in your labor. It is our God-given task. It is the gift of God. In chapter 9 through 11, he says it again. It says, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which she has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity. No tact. For that is your portion in life, and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. No tact. Well, that puts things into perspective, though, doesn't it? Whatever abilities God has given you, use them well. Enjoy the real-life, intimate relationships that you build, for tomorrow you die. At this point, it's all kind of depressing. Emptiness, vanity, grasping for the wind. It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't last. Remember those definitions? It's not going to last, and it's not satisfying. Cycle on, cycle off. It's not going to last. Sun rises, sun sets. It's not going to last. Winter to spring to summer to fall. It's not going to last. War to peace. It's not going to last. Prosperity to oppression. It's not going to last. Seek for knowledge and understanding. It's not going to satisfy. Run after pleasure in all its forms. Emptiness. It's not going to satisfy. It's not going to last. Work, sleep, die. It's not going to last. It's not going to last. It's never going to last. No tact. we looked at chapter 3, and we read verse 13. I'm going to read it again, but this time we're tacking on verse 14 too. Every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken away from it. God does it, that men should fear before him. That's going to last. It shall be forever. John 16, verses 22 and 24. You now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Ask and receive, that your joy may be full. Psalm 103, verses 2 through 5. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Revelation 21, verses 4 through 6. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And James 1:17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. He is the definition of fullness, not emptiness, satisfaction, not unsatisfactory, and lasting certainty. He's the definition of it. And it really puts into perspective Matthew 6, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And this has kind of become cliche to me until I read this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And this is why, in the midst of all the vanity that Solomon talks about, he says, in the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Every man should enjoy the good of all his labor. That's why he says this, because we, I don't know if we read, yeah, we read it. Colossians 1:29, the last verse in chapter 1. God's working works in me mightily. And we already read here that whatever God does, it shall be forever. That's why we can not withhold our hand. We can do it with our might. We can enjoy the good in our labor. This is why we can fully recognize that it's not going to last, but still live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your life, which he has given you under the sun. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That was Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24, and Galatians 6, verse 9. This is the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. So tomorrow, we're going to wake up, we're going to bustle around, get as much accomplished as we can until it gets dark. Cycle up, cycle down. Fully aware that it's not going to last. But we do it with our might, because we serve the Lord Christ. And then we're going to eat and drink joyfully with the wife whom you love, because we know that it is We know what is going to last. And that's what we're living for. And that's what we're laying up treasures for. So the very last thing Solomon says in Ecclesiastes is, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil.